listeners. Welcome to this R.G. Hardy Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for tuning in today, because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I believe you will be blessed by today's message as I minister on the importance of raising a godly seed. You know, I'm a third-generation preacher, and I want to share with you the legacy passed down to me from my dad, Brother Hardy, and my granny, Mother Hardy, in today's message, A Godly Legacy.
C. C is for correction. How many know you've got to have balance? And when I'm talking about correction, I'm talking about constructive remedial discipline. We're not talking about abuse, okay? So when I get to reading these scriptures, don't let your mind run off. We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about that which is remedial and that which is going to bring about a good remedy and fix a problem. The two worst things any parents can do are fail to discipline, over-discipline. If you fail to discipline, you let a child do himself, oh my Lord, one day you will regret it, but by that time it will be too late. When they stand up in your face, it's too late then. How many say amen? So if you think, oh, I'm just going to let them go and they're a free spirit and let them be, yeah, when they get to school, they're going to be so free, they're not going to be able to sit down behind a desk, they're going to have all kinds of problems. So failure to discipline is bad, but so is over-disciplining. Because if you over-discipline them, the Word of God says you break their spirit. And I think I didn't put that scripture down, but I think it's Ephesians or Colossians, one or the other. I think it's Colossians around the fourth chapter. If you over-discipline them, you will break their spirit, and you don't want to do that either. So we want balance, amen? Because if we love our children, we will correct them. God said it clearly, and I won't read it, but you know in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he accepts. Everyone. If you endure chastening, then God deals with you as a son. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? No chastening for the present. Somebody say, for the present. Seems to be joyous. But it's grievous. For the present, it's grievous. But he says, oh, but in the future, nevertheless, afterwards, somebody say afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So we see that if God corrects and chastens us, how many is ever people here that are saved have ever been chastened of the Lord? Is there anybody who's never, ever had the Lord have to chasten you or correct you? Because I want to make sure your halo hasn't slipped. No, didn't see nobody. Didn't think so. So he reasons if he chastens us. And how many know when you're in that crucible? I've been in some crucibles. I thought I was going to die. And while I was going through it, in my heart, I was saying, Lord, when you bring me out of this one, I will not do this again. I pray that I'll not be this foolish. I'll pray next time I zip my lip. I pray next time I won't be so huffy, puffy, and proud and whatever. How many say amen? So he uses that. He says, just like I chasten you. Does it mean I don't love you? On the contrary, because I love you, I don't want you to persist in your bad behavior. If I reward bad behavior, I'm reinforcing bad behavior. You're going to get worse. And as much as I love you because you're my child, your teacher isn't going to love you. Your neighbor isn't going to love you. Your boss isn't going to love you when you turn out to be a brat. You're no kin of theirs. They're not obligated to love you. They're not your mama. How many say amen? So God says we must correct our children. I'll just quickly run through these verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24. He that spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him chastens him betimes. Now I know that B word, betimes. Like, what is betimes? Does that mean a whole bunch of times? No. So don't go thinking it says betimes. Beep, 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 beep. No, that's not what it means. It might sound that way, but don't jump to conclusions. Betimes means right now. Promptly, especially when children are little, they have to be able to equate the crime with the punishment. If they do something then, you got to correct them then. Don't tell them when your father comes home tonight. Because number one, if they're little by then, they forgot what they did. They can't put the two together. They did it now, correct them now. Number two, you're making their dad Mr. Bad Guy. boy, my daddy, he's the one. I don't want my daddy to ever come home because when he comes home, I get beaten. No, don't tell your child when your daddy comes home or when your mother comes home or however it works in your house. When the child does it, especially the younger they are, they must promptly do it then. They have to understand what they've done, why they're being punished, okay? Because otherwise, they won't understand it, and then later on when you're whipping them, they don't know what they're being whipped for. They don't put it together. Now, when you know with teenagers, it's a little different. Okay, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is in the heart of a child, okay? That's a given. Do you understand that? That is a given. Children are foolish. They have foolish things in their heart. I know your child is the next Einstein, but trust me, even so, foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And some kids, I'm not even going to look, I'm going to do this. Some kids around this church are really foolish. And if you're their mother or father, you know who they are. So this is for you. Okay? Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, I want to make something clear in just a moment. I know we keep reading this rod stuff, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, but let me read one more verse. Verse 29:15. The rod and reproof. I better read that again. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Oh, that's what we're interested in, a wise child, right? The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself shall bring shame to his mother. So here, what were we talking about? You have got to give your child, at sometimes, plenty of R&R. And I'm not talking about rest and relaxation. I'm talking about the biblical R&R, rod and reproof. And it refers back to what I said a moment ago. You're not only punishing your child or whipping your child, but you're making them understand why. You're reproving them. The crime fits the punishment. They understand why they're being disciplined. You don't just whip them and they don't have no idea. What is that? What does that do? It does nothing. It causes the child, if anything, to be confused and then resentment. So they have to understand why they're being punished. Make it clear why they're being punished. And when we speak of the word rod, I would really like in your mind, instead of thinking of a rod, because I know what you're thinking of some big, huge branch off a tree or something, or some billy stick. No, we ain't thinking that way. Think more like a reed. Okay? Instead of rod, think more like a reed. Yeah, it'll sting you a little bit, but it ain't going to really do you any bodily harm. It ain't going to break no bones or not, you know, or knock you out or anything like that. How many say amen? So let's make sure when we talk about rod here, we're not visualizing the wrong thing. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. Okay? Yes, we discipline our children. Yes, there are times to whip them. Yes, there are times that you have to get the reed out or what, you know, or whatever you use that works in your house. But make sure then when you're doing it that you have it's remedial, that it's going to bring about afterwards. See, we're trying to get to afterwards. After the rod and the reproof, we want to get to the afterwards, that then there's joy. Verse 17 of that same chapter, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall delight thy soul. So on the one hand, he said in verse 15, a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. It will happen every time. You can just see it. You can just see it. Children that are just left to do what they want, and later on they bring such shame to their parents. And by that time, it's usually too late. But on the other hand, a child that is corrected brings delight, brings joy. And that mom can say, I have no greater joy. I have no greater joy. My child is walking with the Lord. I have raised a wise child. I almost said wild child. I think it's time to get another drink of water. Wild about Jesus. Now we're down to the last one. Why? Anybody want to take a guess what why is for? Okay. They're fine. They're good. But they're not the one I have. Make it real, real simple. Give your child you. Yourself, Y-O-U, you, your time, your investment of yourself, your interest, your attention. Yes, it's great. If you can buy your kids all of the latest television or the latest, I don't even know what they have out these days, iPods and videos and computers, and they can make their own records, and they can do this, and they can do that, and you can send them to here, and you can send them to there. Anything they want, okay, you buy them the best sports stuff if they're in sports, if they're in music, you can buy them all the music things, I don't care, whatever they want, organs, microphones, guitars, amps. You can afford to give them the, no, you don't give them a hand-me-down car, you're going to give them a new car. I think that's kind of foolish, but if you want to do that, fine. Do all that, but make sure you give them you. You see, it's not enough just to give them things. You have to give them yourself. And that is so important, that you invest your time in your child. Many a rich child has grown up to feel unloved. They've had everything and anything their heart could desire because their parents just gave them things. But because a lot of times their parents were too busy with their business, too busy with their career, too busy with what they wanted to do, that child grew up not feeling that they really were connected in an emotional way to their parents. And I'm going to say this, and some people might not like this, but it's still true. Even ministry is no excuse for not investing time in your child. If you've got so much ministry that you can never, ever go with your kid to something that they like to do, a ball game or something, and you can't do things with your child, you know what? You're not obeying the Holy Spirit. You're too busy. Your ministry has become about you then. Amen? Because what good is it going to do if you have this ministry and you lose your own children? And many children have grown up bitter because they felt like that their parents were so involved in ministry, they didn't have any time for them. And made them resent the church and resent the Lord. And it wasn't the Lord's fault. How many say amen? So there's no greater calling than investing time in your children.
Amen. I hope you're being blessed by this message, A Godly Legacy. This message speaks not only to mothers and grandmothers, but to all parents, grandparents, godparents, really to anyone who mentors or has influence over children. You know, I love to talk about my granny, Mother Hardy. She was a self-taught Bible scholar who trained many young believers in the Word of God. And when she died at age 89, she had no earthly riches, no property or money or even jewels to leave. But she did leave me pearls of wisdom, which she gleaned from a lifetime of daily prayer and Bible study. She left a well-worn Bible with ragged pages and voluminous notes. And this is the most valuable legacy we can receive and we can leave to those who come behind us. I want you to walk with me in God's Word as we discover the power of legacy, L-E-G-A-C-Y, and the six attributes these letters stand for. Now, you may want to order this message for yourself or for someone you want to become a godly legator. It's available on CD for your love gift to the radio ministry of $10 or more. Ask for offer SK129. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Visit both our e-store and Faith is Action archives. Faith is Action is our monthly magazine, which features messages by my father, Brother Hardy, and myself, like today's. You can join our postal mailing list and receive the printed magazine in your mailbox every month free. So whether you prefer to download online or have it delivered to your home, Faith is Action is serious reading for the serious Christian. Again, for a godly legacy, request offer SK as in Sharon Knotts, 129. Mail to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sister Sharon singing, Maranatha.